Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You think you are not sufficient for the task. I understand that. Trust me. There are many times I believe that I am insufficient for the task, but God gives us everything we need to succeed.
If you've ever thought you're not good enough to be used by God to do great things for His kingdom, today's study is a great reminder and encouragement for you. God will give us everything we need if we simply set out to run our race for Him. Here's Robert Furrow with 1 Samuel 10, 1 through 27.
You can open up your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 10 as we continue our study ultimately through the Bible, but currently in the book of 1 Samuel in the life of the first king of Israel, King Saul. There's so much for us to learn in these sections and have such a good section of scripture today. I believe that God's going to encourage you in many different ways as you present yourself before Him today with a sense of anticipation, expectancy, that God's going to move and do some wonderful things. Let's pray, and we'll ask God to bless our Bible study. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. It is rich, it is deep, it is profound, it is challenging, it is encouraging. We thank You that we can present ourselves to You and that You have a call on our lives, that You have chosen us, that You have things that You want us to do, that You have places You want us to go. And I pray that we would be confident in stepping forward in the call You have given us. We thank You for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we are told to lay aside the weights that slow us down and the sin which so easily ensnares us and run the race that God has put before us with endurance, with our eyes on Jesus. Every one of us here who are Christians that have given our lives to Christ, that have invited Jesus in, received Him as your Savior, you have a call on your life. God has given you a purpose. God has given you a plan, something for you to do. He has an appointment for you. The race that you have to run is not my race, and my race is not your race, but I wonder if we are running our races as God wants us to run. Maybe some of us are standing on the sideline right now watching other people race by. Maybe some of us are pretty out of breath and we're just got to get back into the race. I heard here recently that a marathon was done in under 2 hours. Did you hear that? You realize how incredibly fast that has to be to run a marathon in 2 hours? I would love to see you run the race that God has set before you in under 2 hours. But if it takes you 8 hours to finish the marathon, I don't care. As long as you finish it, as long as you get in the race. Because just as celebrated that person that goes in under 2 hours is, there are people that have run that race for 8 hours and they're crawling across the finish line. And even though there's only a few people there, there are people there to give them a spattering of applause because they stayed in the race. And I want to encourage us today to stay in the race. Who knows what God has for you? If you present yourself to Him, who knows where God wants to take you or how God wants to use you? Who knows how the tide might rise and God may use you in some incredibly powerful way? What is the next thing that you are going to do for God? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You have the Holy Spirit gushing out of you like torrents of living water because you've come to Christ and drank, and you think you are not sufficient for the task. I understand that. Trust me. There are many times I believe that I am insufficient for the task, but God gives us everything we need to succeed. Now, at the life of King Saul, the children of Israel had made a demand of God. Give us a king like all of the other nations. I don't know that it is ever a good idea to give God a demand. God, You do this. Maybe we should add in, please? Please, God? Instead of commanding or demanding that God would do something. Because ultimately, we want what God wants for us, because we never know if something that is good, we perceive to be good, is actually bad, and something we perceive to be bad is actually good, because we don't see things from that heavenly perspective. And God was a good king to Israel. He had delivered them from Israel. He had worked with Moses. He had worked with Joshua. He had worked with the judges during the time of the judges, and the people rejected him. They were the ones who didn't put their trust in God, and they were the ones who caused themselves to go through difficulties. Had they done what God wanted them to do, they never would have had to have demanded that God would give them a king. Now, God could have chosen them a king who was inadequate, who did not have the traits of a king. God could have chosen a king and not empowered him. God could have been like someone who was made to do something and you go, well, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to do it well. But that's not our God. God said, you have demanded a king and I will choose that king. And he chose a king who had every trait that a king needed to have. He was from a powerful family among the tribe of Benjamin. His dad was a powerful man in that tribe. Saul would have seen firsthand. He's an adult, child now. He would have seen firsthand the ongoings of a powerful family in that tribe. He would have seen how you had to provide for things, the way things had to be done. He would have watched and he would have known those things. And so God chose someone for leadership that had been exposed to leadership. He didn't choose someone that had never been in leadership, but he chose someone that had seen it and had been a part of that family. He chose someone that had a kingly countenance. He was good looking. Remember we talked about that last week? The Bible rarely says someone's good looking, and it says that Saul was a handsome young man and head and shoulders taller than anybody else. Throughout history, height has been something that has been looked up to, no pun intended, by communities and by kingdoms throughout history. And so God chose Saul as someone that people could receive by his looks as their king. But he didn't leave it there. He didn't just choose someone qualified from a human perspective to be king. He equipped him in every way necessary. We find in this chapter that God gives him everything he needs and even more. Spoiler alert, cover your ears if you don't want to hear this. Saul doesn't do well. But it's not because God didn't give him every advantage to do well. I realize here today, some of you guys are going to do really well. God's got a plan. God's got a call. Do you know that? God has got a call for each one of you here. And some of you will do well. Your tide will rise and God will use you. Perhaps in an area you are not even aware of. Perhaps reaching out to the homeless. Perhaps working among drug addicts or maybe those that are struggling with alcohol. Perhaps in areas of ministry as chaplains, perhaps in different areas, maybe as pastoring. God will raise some of you guys up to pastor and to come alongside of someone else who is pastoring and pastor together with them. These are things that God is calling you to do, and some of you will do well, but sadly to say as well, some of you will not. Some of you may head out in the way that God calls you. But like Saul, we can see the reasons he failed. He failed because he was not obedient to God. He failed because he thought he himself to be more important than he was as time went on. That's not a trait we find early on. It's a trait we find later in his life. And we want to succeed. And I believe that just as God gave Saul everything he needed to succeed, God is giving you everything you need to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth, to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. As it says in 2 Corinthians, you are an ambassador for Christ to this lost world, and God is giving you everything you need to succeed. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. We find here that God reassures Saul of his call and that God is with him through seven different things. We find the first in verse 1. He's standing with Samuel along the roadside. Samuel is ready to anoint him as king. It's early in the morning, verse 1 of chapter 10 of 1 Samuel. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?" The first thing that he does with Saul is to anoint him. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus will sit upon the throne of Israel. We know eventually it is the throne of David that God will have him sit upon. And when we study the life of David not too long from now, we'll see why. Because David is a true shepherd of the people of God. He does some horrible things as a king, but he is a true shepherd and he has a true heart to shepherd God's people, something Saul never has. But Saul is anointed. You remember that Jesus Christ is not his name. Jesus Christ is the Greek name for the Hebrew name Yeshua Mashiach or Joshua Messiah. And the word Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, which is the Hebrew word anointed. Jesus anointed. Whom God appoints, God anoints. The anointing is the empowering to be able to do what God has called you to do. Each one of us here has received a position in the body. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, as each one of you has received a gift, minister that gift to one another. Each one of you here who has made a commitment to Christ has received a gift. You have been called, just as Jesus walked along the shore of Galilee and called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, "Leave your nets and follow me." Jesus has called you, and whom he appoints, he anoints. And God has anointed you. We have heard the term anointing too often by men who claim a special anointing from God, usually in a televangelist voice. "I have been anointed by God." Well, that may very well be true, but so is every believer who has ever invited Christ into their life. The anointing has fallen upon you. God has anointed you, and God has appointed you, and God gave him the anointing, and he in this becomes a type of Christ. And I think we see it when the old man Samuel reaches up and kisses Saul. Did you catch that there? He poured the oil over his head and he reached up and he kissed him. And it reminds me of Psalms chapter 2. This is the Old Testament. This is the Jewish Bible. And in Psalms chapter 2, it says, "Who is his son and what is his name?" And a little later on in that chapter, it says, "Kiss the son, lest he be angry with you." It's an early prophecy that we must have a close relationship with Christ. We must love him, invite him in. It is through knowing him and loving him that we enter into the kingdom of God. And so Samuel, showing his approval in a gesture of tenderness towards this man, he will one day denounce the kingdom being taken from him, and he kisses him when he is anointed. We see then in verse 2 that God continues to give him assurances. In verse 2 it says, "When you have departed from me today, you will find two men at Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin of Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys and is worried about you, saying, what shall I do about my son?'" The second thing that we find is that God shows him that he has taken care of his affairs. That when you commit your life to Christ to do whatever God wants you to do, when you say to God, "Here I am, send me." When God is looking for someone to stand in the gap, God will take care of your affairs. Talk about a tide rising from a man looking for a donkey to the king of Israel. What a transformation in this man's life. And God said to Saul, "Your donkeys are taken care of. There's going to be a man you're going to meet." And Samuel begins to play the prophet here. You're going to meet a man, he's going to tell you the donkeys are okay. You're going to meet some other men, they're going to give you some bread. You're going to meet some other people, they're going to be prophesying. He's telling them these things to confirm it. Saul needs confirmation that he is the king. Saul is hesitant, which I think is it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Saul is hesitant because he's not an overly ambitious man. He's not selfishly ambitious. What does the Bible say? Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Saul didn't say, I'm chosen to be king. I'm the best choice there ever was. Just look at me. Saul wasn't ambitious, and that's good. But Saul also hesitated greatly to step out when God called him, and that's bad. It's good when we say, Lord, you do what you're going to do. You lift up whoever you want to lift up. You do the work of the gospel, and I'll support them. I love the statement. It's a business statement. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. I love that in ministry. I've said to people before, I've said to the body before, you lead, I'll follow. It doesn't matter to me in the work of the gospel whether I'm leading or I'm following. I'm willing to follow. I'm willing to lead. I'll do whatever it is that God wants me to do. And I am never more excited than when God raises someone up and begins to do a work and we can get behind what they are doing to see what they do. If you're hesitant, it's a bad thing. If you're seeking selfish ambition, if you want to achieve something so people give you a little, bravo, bravo, good job. That's a bad thing. So he's hesitant, but God gives him all of these reassurances. I remember when we came out to Tucson, I'd gone through a pastoral class in Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque, and I was invited to come and begin a church here in Tucson. And I didn't know whether we were going to do it. I didn't know anything about Tucson. I mean, I lived close by. I lived in Albuquerque, but I didn't know anything about Tucson, and except that it had palm trees, which I was told by Skip Heitzik, the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Albuquerque, that you got to go to Tucson. It has palm trees. That's what he told me. It has palm trees. That's a California boy who's living in Albuquerque. I could care less about palm trees. But as I prayed about it, God began to give me confirmations. They weren't impressive on their own. If I told you the confirmations that God gave me, you might go, well, those are all coincidences. But God didn't have to convince you. God had to convince me. And so God gave me enough coincidences that those coincidences piled upon each other made me go, I think God wants me to go. Even more confident than that, when I was told that I wasn't going to go, I told a friend, I think I'm still going to go. Because why would God give me all of those things that confirmed that I was supposed to go if I wasn't? God wanted me to go. I would leave a business. I would leave my family there. I would fly down here for 2 months first, as we were seeing what God would do. I was a bit hesitant. I didn't move the family down right away. I had somebody tell me, God's not going to start a church unless you move here. You think people are going to go to a church when you fly from another city to teach it? And for the first 2 months, I flew down to teach the studies until we got to somewhere around 100 people, and we were pretty convinced this is something that God was going to do. I relate to Saul a little bit. I was hesitant, but I was willing. I was willing to see what God wanted to do. And so Saul needed it. But in these, God teaches him a lesson in each one of them. First of all, that God was going to take care of his business. Listen, if you begin to do whatever it is God calls you to do, we have had a couple here at the church who believed after they retired, especially the gal, that God wanted her to start a ministry in Africa of all places. A great work. A work that is beyond any of our, how do you start a ministry in Africa? Her husband Willis since went to be with the Lord, but Iloe began to minister to these women, and God has done a great work there. You might think, well, how are we going to take care of things if I'm going to Africa? But God takes care of your business. You think that you're going to be about God's business and God isn't going to take care of your business? How much better to be about the kingdom and God's righteousness? And you might think as a retired individual, God won't use me. You have no idea. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. That might hit somebody right on the nose here today. You may be 75 years old going, don't talk like that. I'm in the comfortable time of life. Maybe not. Maybe now God wants to use you. The second thing that we see here is after being told his donkeys were going to be okay, then you shall go on forward. And from there come to the terebinth tree of Tabor, and three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you. one carrying three goats, young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. Can you imagine what the psalm must have thought when he got to the terebinth tree there, and all of a sudden here comes, that guy has three goats, and that guy has three loaves of bread, and that guy's got a skin of wine, just like Samuel said. It's like God is going out of his way to show him, I am calling you to do this. And they will greet you, and they will give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. This is not only a sign that God will take care of your business if you surrender yourself to him, but that God is going to give you the provisions for what you need. Pastor Chuck Smith, who founded Calvary Chapel, had a few little quips that he would say. One of them, Calvary Chapel ended up with 1,500 Calvary Chapels across the United States. It started from him, and he would say to us pastors, blessed are the flexible, for they will not be broken. That we should be flexible in what God wants. When we get too rigid, God will either move on and use someone else, and we will not be used by him anymore. So we ought to be flexible in the direction that God wants to take us. Another thing that Pastor Chuck would say is, where God guides, God provides. And when you go out to do what God wants you to do, the provisions will be there. The two loaves of bread will be there. God was showing Saul, you might not have the provisions to be king, but I will give you what you need. I will take care of those provisions, and God will take care of you as well if you are obedient to the call that God has on your life. He goes on to say, verse 5, after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. What a strange thing. The hill of God and the Philistines are there. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments and tambourines and a flute and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. You're going to get to the hill of God and the Philistine garrison's going to be there. There's going to be a bunch of hippie prophets, guitars and tambourines, prophesying. That's a strange thing to see. Thinking of that ancient Israel coming down the road, singing and happy. I just can't get out of my mind the Jesus movement and how many hippies committed their lives to Christ, began to attend church with their bare feet and vests, no shirt on underneath, terrifying regular churchgoers that God could be moving in the lives of these guys that need haircuts. And then it says that you will meet this group of prophets coming down from the city in the high place with stringed instruments. And then the Spirit, verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Who would ever think that Saul, the donkey searcher, would suddenly dance around with these prophets and begin to prophesy? A man who didn't even really know who Samuel was, who wasn't even really concerned about the things of God, would all of a sudden now be prophesying with prophets.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media Instagram at Calvary Tucson, or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible, and that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.